You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Craig Breslow last night. Keefe, the Red Sox got uncomfortably aggressive. I don't know if that makes you feel any better or not.
It makes me feel worse. Because if that's what they think that was, like, they'll never get anybody. That was awful. Like, it's just been, it's year after year after year at the trade deadline. So not all of this is on Breslow overall, like how I feel about the team at these trade deadlines. But this year specifically, it is. He had a chance to have his first deadline last year, and they weren't as good of a team, and they weren't in the same playoff spot that they're in, and the American League was different. And he added a bunch of bodies, but nobody was of impact. And so I was like, I don't know, like at least listening this year when he was talking about how they needed an impact guy.
Uh-huh.
You're like, all right, so they're going to go for quality over quantity.
Wrong.
You sure about that?
Nope. No. Nope. And so they did terribly. Everybody around them got better. They didn't, and they can say about how aggressive they were and how I get people being disappointed. You should be disappointed. As a Red Sox fan, you should be disgusted with how the deadline went.
It was disgusting. Good word for it. I don't know that I can say everything. Our pal from Rhode Island is texting right now, Keith.
People
but he's,
are fired
but
up.
He's back.
Okay,
he's,
good.
He's been gone for a while, yeah. But I guess he's back. He's ignored the Red Sox going 17-7 in July. I can't say most of what he's saying on the air, but
sure.
I would agree. Like, Breslow let me down specifically.
Yeah.
I had faith in him. And I think the real shame in it is, I know a lot of people today are saying, oh, I knew they weren't going to do anything. I didn't expect them to do anything. I think fans are lying to themselves a little bit. I do think a lot of fans were ready to believe in this team. And a decent trade. You didn't need to get Joe Ryan. I mean, Joe Ryan, people would have been
taken him.
Ready for duck boats.
Yeah.
But Eugenio Suarez, rental. Merrill Kelly, rental. Some of these bullpen arms, you know, even the bats like Josh Naylor and Ryan O'Hearn. I think fans would have been ready to invest and buy in and believe in this team. And you had a real chance to get fans back on board. Fans have been so distrusting for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They've been so distrusting of this organization and haven't believed and kept the organization at arm's length. And it makes sense. When you do the same thing over and over and over again, you know, you're not going to get fans on board. This was an opportunity to get them on board. And the AL's wide open. And most of the other teams suck. And you're kind of good. And you're in the mix, and we all know what's going to happen. Cora tried to tell us this on Wednesday. They got off the field beating the Twins 2 out of 3, scoring 13 runs. And Cora's like, I'm not even paying attention tomorrow.
Because he knew.
He knew.
Yeah, so get ready for sad sack August.
He started pouting before he got on the plane from Minnesota, Keith.
Yeah.
He's already pouting.
It's my off day.
I mean, the rest of the season might as well be their off days.
He's already pouting. They are about to go in the tank, and it's a shame. It's disgusting.
Yep.
F-minus is what they did yesterday at the trade deadline because we all know what's about to happen. Terp tweeted out the numbers. 9-18 in August in 2020. 12-16 in August in 2021. I guess 2020 actually wasn't Cora. 2022, 12-16. 13-15 in 2023. 13-15 again last year.
He was
saddled with yet another cheating
scandal. He had to sit that one out.
Yes.
Got
yes,
it.
Yes.
So he's had one good year. Really, so they win the World Series in 2018, and since then, Cora's had one good year.
It's over.
I wonder why they had a winning record in 18 and 19 before he got suspended
they
in August.
Cooking us something.
That's interesting that they had a winning record then. Yeah.
No, it's incredibly frustrating because you can look at just the players that were traded and say they should have been in on a half a dozen of those guys.
Yep.
I still think you could maybe try to push the envelope on a few of the others that weren't, but I guess we'll never truly know if that team would have traded him. We don't know if, you know, Mitch Keller or Joe Ryan or whatever would have gotten traded. I have a feeling maybe they would have. Mitch Keller and the Pirates are way out of it. Joe Ryan just saw every one of his teammates get traded, so I think maybe you could have. But let's just keep it to Merrill Kelly,
the guys who
Eugenio
moved.
Suarez, yeah. all those closers. You should have been in on that. And you clearly felt like you needed to do something. You're claiming you were very aggressive. You did get Steven Matz. You did get Dustin May. Like, those guys aren't the answer. They're not going to give a shot in the arm to the players that are on the roster and to the manager. And I don't want the manager to use this as an excuse, but I kind of get it. I think, once again, you're like, you're not given anything. You just got to make do with what you have.
Meanwhile, everybody else is
improving. We're not.
I don't get it. It's a reality. Breslow acknowledged it's a reality today. He's like, oh, yeah, I've been on baseball teams. If you do nothing at the trade deadline, there's a chance that the team pouts. I'm not going to. If they go into the tank again, I will start putting that on Cora. You can't just quit on the season because your GM didn't do it.
Going in the tank.
If they do it, that's another bad reflection on Cora. But I'm not there yet. Right now, with Breslow, this was a disaster yesterday.
Yeah.
And it turns out, while getting nothing, they kind of still overpaid. Like,
that's wild.
It was like the wildest, most awful trick that he wound up doing yesterday is he traded prospects that actually were compared to other prospects that moved.
And they got the worst players.
ESPN ranked all 97 prospects that moved. They moved number 7. They moved number 17. They moved number 27. And they have nothing to show for it.
And for guys that are under team control, at least. Oh, wrong. They got two rental players.
Even though
today on the Greg Hill Show, he was talking about, there was no starting pitchers that moved that had term. So, it's like, well, you brought in two guys that are rentals anyway.
I would trade every single prospect.
Same.
I would trade every single prospect, but I would at least like a good player to show for it.
Somehow he
traded halfway decently regarded prospects.
For 2 months of Steven Matz. Like, what?
They have nothing to show for it.
And by the way, Steven Matz, for anybody that wants to blame Henry, and trust me, there's plenty of reasons to blame Henry for how this baseball team has been assembled over the last few years as opposed to earlier in his tenure. I get it. But Steven Matz, you're going to pay Steven Matz more money this year than you would have paid Joe Ryan.
Correct.
So if it's just about money and dollars, and I think for John Henry, that's what it is. And if you tell him, hey, we got rid of Devers, all that money's off the books. We just brought in Steven Matz and Dustin May. This is what we owe those guys, whatever. Joe Ryan would have joined the team fine, or Merrill Kelly or some of these other guys. You would have been able to get them on the roster for this year, and then you have decisions to make. But the whole idea of, well, in the offseason, maybe the asking price won't be as bad. Okay, but you're punting on a whole postseason.
You're missing a
of
whole run.
Of course it's
in the
higher
middle.
Now. Right. It exactly. should be higher now.
So I don't care that they didn't acquire a pitcher with term. I do care about the rentals, and they should have done more to help the team. And the easiest thing for me to do today, because I've been stumping for Breslow and Bres Pro and saying he's actually a good GM. Well, not at the trade deadline, he's not.
No.
And the easiest thing for me to do would come in today and say, well, John Henry's to blame. I don't think he's to blame for yesterday. I think he's to blame for a lot of stuff, but Cotillo at Mass Live had the report yesterday. They had $10 million until they got to the luxury tax to play around with. I mean, you got to run everything by your boss. I'm not saying Breslow could make a deal. And Henry all of a sudden is like, wait, we made a trade? I had no idea that irons were in the fire.
No, that's how it works everywhere.
But I think he had autonomy to add payroll. I believe that. It's hard to prove, but that's what Cotillo's report said yesterday.
Yeah.
They had $10 million to play around with. They barely took on any payroll yesterday.
But is John Henry the only cheap owner in baseball?
No.
And how come everybody else made moves? Like, everybody else, like, Toronto, I'll even leave the Yankees to the side if you want, but Toronto, Detroit, Houston, Seattle, Texas, Tampa are all teams that are fighting for playoff spots.
Yep.
And they're all making big moves. I mean, you could say, all right, this isn't a year where CeCe Sabathia and Manny Ramirez got traded at the deadline, right? There have been years where you're like, oh, there's a Hall of Famer on the move. That wasn't really the case, but there were still impact guys. Like, the Seattle Mariners added two big-time hitters. They added a guy who is fifth in the majors with 36 home runs.
And already helped them beat the Rangers last night, who they're battling for a playoff spot.
And some of these teams that already had closers added more guys who are closers to their bullpen. So, like, they've at least helped their team. Players better than Steven Matz pretty much went to every team you're competing with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we went through it earlier. Every other team in the AL got better than you did. I don't think some improved as much as it's being made out to be, but Toronto got Shane Bieber. Detroit got Kyle Finnegan, a closer, and Charlie Morton. Houston got Correa and Jesus Sanchez. Yankees got Bednar and Doval. Seattle got Suarez and Naylor, who you were just talking about. Texas got Merrill Kelly. Even Tampa. Griffin Jackson, Adrian Hoser. Like, they all got
They all got
better than you got.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, okay, Dylan Cease didn't get traded, and Zach Gallen didn't get traded, but Jax, Kelly, Naylor, Suarez, Bednar, hell, even freaking Charlie Morton, who I didn't even really want at the time.
Sorry, like, did I say Charlie Morton?
I don't know if you did, but
I think I did with the Tigers.
But I'm saying, like, all those guys I would take. And, like, you're telling me that you didn't have a better offer for any of them. As aggressive as you were, you couldn't get a single guy?
We were joking about Charlie Morton like that was going to be the trash of all trash moves.
That would have been their best
move. Turns out I would rather have him than what they got. And I didn't even want him. But I'd rather have him than what they got.
Terrible.
So, no, yesterday was a disaster. The fans let Craig Breslow know this morning, by the way, at the Greg Hill Show, live on location in Fall River. Yes.
Shane Bieber was another one where at the time, and you can go back to the show yesterday on the Odyssey app, the podcast, at the time he got traded. And I was like, you know what? He goes to Toronto. Like, I'm not kicking and screaming about Shane Bieber. Let me know what they get.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want Shane Bieber. I didn't really want Shane Bieber.
I liked other arms that move better, but I'd prefer him to Dustin May.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 100%.
So, right, because I would have been like, oh, Bieber, in addition to somebody, would have been
100%
better. But if it's nobody? So this weekend, Boston Sports Gordo tweeted this out. It's going to be Cooper Criswell tonight,
nice.
Walker Buehler tomorrow,
nice.
Dustin May on Sunday.
Making his debut.
Sounds like the Astros.
Sounds like a sweep.
Sounds like a Houston sweep.
For being honest, that sounds like a sweep. Again, this is the introduction from the crowd in Fall River today to Greg Hill.
Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You don't have the opportunity for a live studio audience to boo a guest on the phone very often, and yet there it was.
That sounded like us when Jaylen Brown was drafted is what that sounded like. That was Breslow being welcomed in on the phone. Luckily for him, he would have been torn limb from limb, Keith.
Excellent.
If he was there in person. One more, and then we'll get to some phone calls. Lobby waiting patiently.
Okay.
Bradfo highlighted this last night on Nesson, and maybe he did the same thing with Arcan. If you missed him on the Odyssey app last night, you can go listen to Bradfo breaking down what the Red Sox didn't do at the deadline. I thought his description of this was great. I've never heard this excuse before about not being able to get a deal done. I mean, give Breslow credit for creativity.
Fair.
Here's why the Red Sox couldn't do any deals.
Greg, did you ultimately feel the price for front of the rotation starters was too high?
No, I don't think this is about an unwillingness to include guys or anything like that. Teams have to like our players in order for that to happen. And, we went into this deadline feeling like, in order to accomplish what we needed to accomplish, what we hoped to accomplish, we couldn't, we couldn't take some of our young minor league players off the table. We couldn't go into this with untouchables, and we didn't. We were willing to talk about all of our guys in the name of improving the team. It just didn't work out.
Okay. So no one likes their players, Keith.
Nobody likes their players.
That's why they couldn't do any
deals.
So
despite, like,
our team sucks.
All the places that grade out and rank minor league systems, you have a top 10 system according to everybody, except for the GMs that you're dealing with. None of them like your players. And it's not like one team made all the moves. Like,
that's a wild excuse for the guy who puts the roster together.
Nobody likes our players. So the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, the Twins, like, all these teams kind of gutted their teams, and all three, four, five of these other teams out there that are making a lot of the moves were like, we don't like anybody in your system.
Yep.
We don't like anybody there.
Again,
I guess it doesn't matter if you're aggressive, right? We trade them all, but nobody wanted them.
I, by the way, don't think that's right. Kylie McDaniel at ESPN, just one guy, one prospect evaluator, had Tibbs as the seventh best prospect to move.
Yeah,
it was better than the prospect move for Suarez. It was better than the prospect move for Merrill Kelly. And somehow you got Dustin May, and you had to add another prospect to get that done because no one likes your players, I guess.
That one felt like they got a little desperate, and they were just like, we need to get a body. It's sort of like last year, like with some of the guys they brought in. And because that one didn't happen until what, later in the day, right? Like 5 o'clock.
It was like 5:58. Yeah, yeah. It happened like right before 6.
And they're like, here comes Dustin.
Because I saw pass an update and I'm like, they got Joe Ryan.
No, they did not, actually.
Which at least I kept to myself. More on that coming up in the week in review. Meanwhile, let's get some phone calls here. Alex is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, hi guys. It's a complete disgrace. I'm disgusted. And you know what, Breslow is he's unqualified. I mean, proof in the pudding just with the Mats deal. St. Louis, who coveted Blaze, Jordan, they coveted this man. And instead of getting Helsley, he ends up with Mats instead of negotiating a deal for Helsley. So that shows exactly where he's at. We'll be out of the contention for the wild card by Monday. By the end of the month, it's going to look worse. It's going to spiral out of control.
All right, so I am worried about those things.
I agree with a lot of what he said.
Is it possible he got pants by Chaim Bloom?
Well, good point. Chaim Bloom, not known for his trade deadline deals either. But yeah, there's a chance. Oh yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm not
the way he frames it is like,
I'm not worried about trading Blaze Jordan, but
I don't know how badly they really want to Blaze Jordan. But if they
wanted him, they got him.
Yeah, yeah. And but that like, was how badly?
Well,
I mean, like,
that was a Bloom draft pick. So
and
I mean,
he overpaid Blaze Jordan for that draft spot.
Yeah,
like gave him a bonus for draft.
So I bet. Right, so touche. But I mean, what'd they get for Helsley? Did they get somebody? Sorry to put you on the spot for that.
Let me look
Let
me look at the prospect ranked on Kylie McDaniel's list for Ryan Helsley.
But Helsley's like, obviously better.
But Bloom didn't trade Helsley to the Red Sox. He traded him to the Mets. And
yeah,
so
right.
It was the number 4 prospect that moved.
See, that's
for
what I'm
Helsley.
Saying. So like they knew they could get a little bit more for him. But that's where you change. Like
Jesus Baez is again on McDaniel's list, and the Red Sox you have at number 17.
But would you have traded Blaze? Now I know the answer is yes, but I'm just saying. All right, so maybe you don't have a prospect as good, but what if it's Blaze Jordan and like Blaze Jordan and another 2 prospects for God's sakes,
Jordan and Tibbs,
somebody else that Chaim Bloom liked in the system that he brought in,
Blaze and Tibbs.
Take Blaze and Tibbs.
I don't need Dustin May, and I could have had Helsley.
I feel better about Helsley.
And by the way, when Helsley got moved, I'm like, whatever. They didn't really need a high-end bullpen arm. That wasn't top of my list. But in retrospect,
yeah,
I wanted a starter. I wanted a bat. They didn't get those, so I would have taken a better reliever.
So he said, do you want a right-handed bat or a number 2 starter? And I was like, why not get greedy and get both? How about this? Neither.
How about nothing close?
Yep.
Ron is in Framingham. Hello, Ron.
Hey, guys. Yeah, great show.
Thank you.
I don't know if you heard J.P. Ricciardi last night on the Nets wrap-up.
I was listening to, this one. Bradfo had the comment. I was watching that. Yeah, Ron.
Yeah, he was awesome, and he's a local guy, as you know, from Worcester, has experience as a GM. He told some great stories about deals he made with Oakland and Toronto, and he's got a pair of balls, and he said he would have got that number 2 guy, even if it meant trading Durant.
I mean, I thought he ripped the Red Sox pretty good, which I give him credit for on Nesson. Let's not overrate him as a GM now. what was his track record? Where was he a GM? Was it just Toronto? Was he a GM somewhere else?
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
It was just Toronto, right?
I thought he was with the Mets. Was that before he went to Toronto?
Oh, maybe.
Anyways,
yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't overrate him as a GM. He's a local guy. I thought he did a good job ripping the Red Sox last night. But like, now what? What's the point? Fire Breslow and bring in J.P. Ricciardi? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. If that makes me Bres Pro still, then shame on me. Brian's up in Maine. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey guys, great show.
Thank you.
I generally agree with your take that Breslow is a pretty good GM, but during the trade deadline, I mean, he kind of tells you what his fatal flaw is when he says that. We're being so aggressive that teams are telling us to back off and you know, we're going too far. If you look at some of our great GMs over the years at the trade deadline, they're really good salesmen. Dave Dombrowski, the Silver Fox, Theo, those guys could sell anything to anybody. Some of the guys that aren't so great, Chaim Bloom and Breslow, they're not confident. They don't speak confidently and they come off more bratty. They come off more pushy. Why it's probably a little easier for him to create deals in the offseason where during this time of the year, they don't like our players. Listen, it's your job to sell them our players and tell them why they need them on their team.
So part of what's frustrating with Breslow is the message this morning and last night. It's almost more infuriating than not doing deals.
It's also how he says it, not just what he says. You know, I think there's a little bit of that. And
teams have to like our players.
They don't. Is there something to that? Because I agree with him. Like, he sounds just like Chaim Bloom. They're very, very similar. And they're obviously very stat-based, very, like, number crunch-based. What does our computer tell us?
Yeah, Rosenthal said they're one of many teams, but they're a models team. Yeah.
But also, like, when it comes time to being on the phone with another human, and I assume
what was that call with Chaim like?
Oh, my God. It's short-circuited. It's like
just chatbots working out a deal.
That's what I'm saying. Actually, yeah,
it's like the takeout prank call where they talk to each other.
Yeah, right. I feel like that. Because I assume, and I could be wrong, but baseball trades are still done human being to human being.
Well, again,
that'll change.
That one, but yeah.
No, but like when it comes down to it, like there are still some human GM, like Dave Dombrowski. Yeah. You talk to him, and it's like he's going to use stats, sure, but he's also going to talk like a human being, and maybe it's easier to get a deal done. Like I'm guessing some of the best salespeople in the world are good at talking to people, I think.
Yeah.
And that's something that those guys do not have.
It helps. You want to, you know, what do you like? Talking to a person on the phone, which isn't great.
Yeah.
Or like a robocall. Like not even close. By the way, J.P. Ricciardi.
You chose Brown-Eyed Girl.
Brown-Eyed Girl.
Just tell me the name of the movie you want to see.
J.P. Ricciardi never made the playoffs in Toronto. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know. Did he not?
I thought I just Googled
this. Yeah,
but
he's a local
guy. He was the GM from 02 to 09. The Blue Jays never made the playoffs. Right. During that stretch.
It's probably close.
They were, however, I just had this up. They were 642 and 651 during his tenure. So let's not go too far with that. I like him ripping the Red Sox on
Nestor.
That's
good. That's good. Yeah, that's real good stuff.
But like, you know,
yeah,
I'd take Breslow over him. 617-779-7937. All your phone calls there on Jones and Keefe. We got the Week in Review, 1245, and right after trending with Billy Lanny. Let's get to the Red Sox and what their ceiling is now that they did nothing at the deadline.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unfortunately, I kind of think it matters.
Yeah, it's going to matter quite a bit.
It's going to matter a lot to his job security.
Right.
How he's viewed.
Yeah, he's viewed poorly.
The Red Sox season.
Going to go poorly.
He tried hard. It did not go far. It is going to matter.
Yeah.
To paraphrase Linkin Park.
Unfortunately, yeah, all these things are true. Yeah, what a mess. It. Like, I guess maybe we should have all seen it coming. I mean, part of it was, like, I didn't get my hopes up for, like, a big acquisition. I thought they'd do more than this.
I thought they'd get a rental starter.
Yeah.
I guess technically they did. No, but a better one than, like, yesterday, Keith, I'm like, they'll get one of the Diamondbacks guys.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good move, not a great move. Joe Kelly would have been a great move, like an all-in kind of
move. Yeah, it would have been fun.
Merrill Kelly would have been a good,
I would have been very happy with
Merrill
Kelly.
Texas made that move. You got to take Texas seriously now. I already was, and they added. And that's all, but that wouldn't have been, like, a wild, you know, aggressive all-in kind of move.
No.
It just would have been a run-of-the-mill deadline move. He didn't even do that.
But one of the big differences between 2022, 3, 4, and this year is they're actually in the playoffs. The previous years, you could be
so
like, all right, guys, like, we don't think it really makes sense long-term to buy. And in the moment, I was mad each time. Like, in the moment, I was like, you're that close to the playoffs. Try to get in. And they didn't, and they went different directions. And a couple of those years were under Chaim Bloom. Last year, obviously, it was Craig Breslow, but they all ended the same, missing the playoffs. This year, your team is in a better spot because you have a true ace. you got somebody like Bregman, and you're like, you just add a piece or two, and you could be in good shape, and they don't. And then all the excuse-making happens, and you're like, look, right, why should I care so much about the team if you don't?
Look, on the off chance, Mats and May are good. I would not wager on it. I guess I'll allow for it. Yeah. On the off chance they're good, maybe we'll look at it and give Breslow some credit. In the meantime, how'd you grade it earlier today, Keith?
F
minus.
Sure.
Like it was so bad.
F minus would have been if they traded Jaren Duran for prospects. That's why I'll go F.
It technically could have been worse. They could have traded. My buddy yesterday was like, they're going to trade Chapman. I was like, there's no chance they trade
good one.
Chapman.
If they traded Chapman and Duran, then yeah, it would have been worse.
Okay, so you're right.
So they weren't sellers.
Some room to be worse. They didn't outright sell.
But they weren't really buyers either.
But no, yesterday was as close to a full-blown disaster as you can get. 617-779-7937. That was McAdam asking him about other teams around them improving. A few moments later, Breslow was asked almost the exact same question, word for word, just about.
Yeah,
but he decided to expand a little bit more on this, Keith, and I think they finally just beat him down a little bit,
maybe,
and he got in his feelings a little bit.
Yeah.
On this answer.
Yeah, I understand the frustration and the disappointment, because we're all looking at the last week right now in terms of the trades that were made and weren't made, and there's not a lot of sympathy for how hard we tried to get deals across the line. I understand that. We believe that we have a really young, exciting, talented team, and one that is capable of continuing to perform at this level and make it to the postseason. That's what our focus is on. And this, the decisions that were made at this deadline, they weren't driven by, like I said, an unwillingness to be aggressive. They weren't driven by taking, a highlighted or reinforced view of 2026 or 2027. We were aggressively pursuing acquisitions that could help us in 2025. And, they didn't line up. But I think if fans were in the office during this deadline, they would see that, guys that we maybe didn't expect to be willing to talk about going into these conversations, we've made available, and we tried to put the most aggressive offers that we could in hopes that they were going to end in deals. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they don't.
So
they did. They didn't.
They absolutely
did not end in deals. He's like, if only Netflix was there for the Clubhouse 2, you guys all could have seen how aggressive we were, and you would have been blown away by it. You would have been so impressed that we made Peyton Tolley available.
Like, my God.
Well, I don't know if you even did.
You wouldn't believe. Right. We made the password available.
Right. So everybody is saying that they really weren't aggressive. Breslow's doubling down that they were.
They were uncomfortably aggressive.
Ken Rosenthal referred to it as feeble.
Well, their attempt for Joe Ryan, sure.
At least for Joe Ryan.
He also called it an epic fail.
Epic fail. And then Chris Cotillo had the line like they weren't even close, right, on Ryan.
Not even close. From the Minnesota, he's like, the Red Sox thought they were close, but he's like, I talked to sources on the Minnesota side, they were not close.
So then they weren't close. They really weren't that aggressive. I guess in their own mind, you could be aggressive, I suppose, but it's like you weren't, according to the rest of baseball. Like, look at what all these other teams were able to do. Yeah, they botched it. They absolutely botched it, and it's unfortunate because we all kind of thought, as of yesterday, like, this is a team worth investing in, and they could be a lot of fun. They could have a good August, September, and who knows?
Let's go to the phones here. Stephen Fall River wants to educate us on the deadline. Hello, Steve.
Okay.
Well, you first have to understand, I've asked several people this, does anyone understand what the ask was last year for Garrett Crochet in
a
trade?
It was a lot. At the deadline, it was a lot.
It was Anthony and it was Devers. We're building a team.
That's not possibly true.
It was Anthony and Devers.
Right. There's no way it was Rafael Devers.
Put it on,
Steve, that's fine. What's your point today?
Put it on the bottom line.
I apologize. Yeah. It was Anthony and Meyer.
That makes more sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so there's a problem with the trade deadline. It's like trying to build your credit score or build a financial foundation with a payday loan.
All right, but what about all the guys that did get traded? Put Joe Ryan to the side. What about the guys that did get traded?
No, let's talk. How about the guy here? Quiet. They got a guy that has 18 starts in baseball with 6 wins for a very lousy team, and they got him for spit. And and they got another guy who's thrown 7 innings in the bullpen for another deal.
Who are you talking about?
He's talking about May and Mats, I believe.
This bullpen guy they got has 70 innings this year. pitch. They got him for a prospect.
Dustin May doesn't play for a bad team. He plays for the Dodgers.
Mats has thrown 55. I don't know what he's saying either.
What are these stats? You're getting the names, the stat, the whole thing is
the guys
wild.
The guys made 18 starts.
Okay.
13 when the Red Sox played them and lost 13 of their last
He's
18.
Got an ERA of 5. What's your point? Yeah. He stinks.
Yeah, what is the point, Steve?
The point is they got him. That was another quality.
His phone. Steve, your phone.
All right, sorry, that's more your phone than your take and your names and your stats. Dustin May, we're talking Dustin May up now.
So I'm honestly confused. So is that what he's doing? Is he talking up what they got?
Yes.
I really don't even get what.
So
his
this
point
is
was.
What I believe, and I could be wrong. I believe he is saying the price was too high for Joe Ryan, and if you truly believe that, then so be it. Then let's move on to the guys that did get traded.
By the way, all of baseball agrees the price is too high for Joe Ryan, so fine. I agree. Let's go to who moved.
The only one that people really even turned an eye at was Mason Miller, and the question of really for both sides. Like, all right, the A's are trading Mason Miller, but then also the Padres gave up a lot for him. Everything else was just sort of prospects taking some big swings here and there and like rental players going all around, but like five closers got traded, all better relievers than Matt's. A few hitters got traded to the Mariners, who are better than any hitter that you got. You want to know how I know that? Because you didn't get any hitters.
Let me ask you, Keith, would you rather have Dustin May or Eugenio Suarez?
Suarez.
Would you rather have Merrill Kelly or Dustin May?
Merrill Kelly.
Okay. Again, this is one ranking, but Kylie McDaniel said the prospect you moved got you Dustin May. He is ranked ahead of the prospects that got Suarez and Kelly.
Suarez has 36 home runs this year.
So, like, to me, fine. Joe Ryan is astronomical. It'll be cheaper if you revisit in the offseason. Maybe. You might be right about that. We'll find out. They could have got some of these rental players.
But, like, talking these guys
how hard we tried to get deals across the line.
Sounded choked up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's an emotional time for everybody.
People just don't understand.
Trade deadline, I get it.
It's a hard day.
It was, for him specifically.
It's a hard morning when he went on the Greg Hill Show this morning.
That's true. He did get booed by a live audience. I don't know how often that's happened.
Good morning. Is
that the first time a guest has been
the booze
booed
again
like that?
Yeah, well,
guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Wow. That doesn't happen much.
No, it really doesn't.
It really, really, truly does not.
Pretty amazing.
So there you go. Rough go for my guy, Brez. 617-779-7937. We will get back to the Red Sox and their chances now that we're after the trade deadline. Plus, are you feeling any differently about the Rafael Devers trade? Breslow was asked about that last night. But on the way...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, we have the week in review.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Everybody pile in the minivan, we're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Oh, what a week it has been here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Of course, it started on Monday, Jones, and we were at Patriots training camp. In fact, this is the only day this week we have not been at Patriots training camp.
Feels weird. Good turnout here in the building. It looks like they've been doing a lot while we've been gone.
it's a ghost town.
They're so busy here.
The morning shows at Fall River, the afternoon shows at Fenway, the salespeople don't work Fridays.
Couldn't even dream about a boss being here.
Whatever it might be. But on Monday, you know, I wasn't as prepared as I was later in the week. I was looking for some binoculars, which I was unable to find on Monday.
Let's see if this one is in. A little back shoulder throw to Diggs.
Did he catch that?
Yeah.
How come the fans didn't go crazy, though?
Doesn't look like it.
Maybe he didn't.
Marcus Jones is celebrating, so maybe not. We got a tree right in front of us on that. So that's a tough view there.
I didn't bring my binocs. I was looking at CC Beans has a pair of binocs, little kid binocs, but they still work.
I have a pair of kid binocs from the aquarium, Lucas.
I was in a room this morning.
Lucas's a pair from the aquarium, rather.
I was waking her up today.
Yeah, exactly. We took him to the aquarium and we bought something in the gift shop. How about that?
CC's laying in bed. I'm like, it's time to get up. And then she sees me rummaging through her stuff. She's like, what are you doing? She goes, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, do you have binoculars? She's like, what? I go, binoculars.
You call them binoculars?
I go, where are your binocs? She's like, what color are they? I'm like, you know. She's like, yeah, I don't think I have those anymore. I was like, ah. Booty. I'm like, I need them for work. She goes, what?
Again, without the binocs, I'm not very confident saying any of this, but Booty just brought one in over Christian Gonzalez.
All right, well, that was a fun little drill right there.
So, update, I was able to purchase my own adult binoculars.
Nice.
And I used those the last couple of days of camp. I'll have those next week when we got our eyes on the Washington Commanders who come to town on Wednesday.
Well, we
got
to find Terry McLaurin. Yeah. To bring him up to our radio set there to make him a New England Patriot.
We'll get him.
Yeah, we got to locate him with the binocs.
I'll be locked in on McLaurin. Nice. I'll give you a full body language breakdown of Terry McLaurin.
Oh.
If he's there.
Great.
He may not be there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Your body language.
The Rich Keefe body language breakdown all day Wednesday. That's a good
idea.
Pretty great.
Yeah. On Tuesday, we talked about a very scary story up in New Hampshire where there was a giant snake on the loose.
Probably someone else's pet. I'd have to imagine.
I guess.
Maybe a long time ago. It snuck out through the sewer or something like that. Next thing you know, it's been feasting in the wild. But
it made it upstairs?
At one point, that thing was a pet.
How'd it get upstairs?
I don't know.
Can they do stairs? Snakes can go upstairs.
Probably. They can crawl up trees and stuff. You don't think they can do stairs?
Well, trees, it can kind of wrap itself around the
banister. Wrap itself around the banister.
No.
Yes.
Billy, can snakes go upstairs?
I would assume.
100%.
Yeah. What? Even safe upstairs?
So all these years, you think if there was a snake on the loose, you'd just run up some stairs and you'd be fine?
I imagine
it could still get you.
They slither on their bellies. I would think I'd be fine up there.
I don't think so.
So they just go like up and is horrifying.
I'm sure they do.
My God.
Really? You never think?
I wouldn't think they could do stairs. I mean, they're normally outside.
I know these are different species, but you never seen like a dancing cobra? They're standing up. Like they could get up some stairs.
Dancing cobra?
Yeah.
Like the snake?
Yeah, like a snake charmer dance.
I can
see them grooving along. They're holding themselves up. They have a lot of ribs.
Well, there's the guy with like a piccolo, maybe.
They're all ribs. They're very strong.
They have ribs?
Yeah, I think so.
See, I'm so scared of snakes, I haven't taken the time to really learn about them. Maybe that's my problem.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're made of. I don't know whether they can do stairs or heights.
I think you'd probably like them more if you learned a little bit more about them.
You'd have
greater appreciation for the wild beast. Yeah.
I do know a lot about the great American rock band Goo Goo Dolls, as that was also discussed on the show on Wednesday.
Good. Yeah. Kat went to Goo Goo Dolls last night.
Well, not as good.
Not as big of a fan?
Goo Goo Dolls? No.
That sounds great.
Dude, that sounds horrible.
Who'd they play with?
Ooh, dashboard open. Honestly, kind of wanted to go there and feel my feelings.
Just an acoustic and emotions. I kind of wanted to
go feel my feelings at dashboard.
Dude, Goo Goo Dolls had that one song from the City of Angels soundtrack. One of the worst movies ever.
Yeah, Iris, bro.
Iris.
Yeah.
They'd play that on
TRL. They had that one song? What are you talking about? Goo Goo Dolls had the one song?
Maybe two.
Name?
They didn't have
Slide.
Long Way Down.
Long Way Down.
They had too many, I guess.
Only one.
Mount Rushmore. Google
what a
song.
Sad.
I think we just Mount Rushmore. I think that was it.
Do you know what the original name of their band was?
A Boy Named Goo. Mookie Blaylock.
Okay, how about this one? Did you know the song?
You don't want to answer this one, Bill?
No. I was going to forget it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
Whose question am I answering?
I'll remember mine.
Yeah. Song name.
right? Their first hit, Do You Know Who Is About?
Oh, it's about someone.
Wait, Iris?
No
name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Name. Who name's about?
Right.
Oh, is it an actress?
It's a female.
It's a female. Yep.
Is it a musician or an actress?
She worked in music. She now works in politics.
Oh my God, Hillary Clinton.
So do you remember? Kennedy?
The Hill Dog.
Kennedy.
It's about Kennedy.
It's about Kennedy from MTV.
Wow.
She now does political stuff.
Nice.
How about that?
Nice.
So, the original band name for Goo Goo Dolls was Sex Maggot.
Sex Maggot.
Okay. They changed it. It didn't really fit the sound of the band,
so they changed it to something
much, much lamer.
That's what they called me in high school.
They're Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah. I didn't realize this. They have several studio albums. They've been making music a long time.
Well, Boy Named Goo. After that, I kind of lost track. But yeah.
So they have Goo Goo Dolls,
yep.
Self-titled, 1987.
Oh, yeah. They go way back. The City of Angels soundtrack.
Jed. They have Hold Me Up.
Uh-huh.
Superstar Car Wash.
Mm-hmm.
A Boy Named Goo.
That was a good one. Yep. I had that one I owned. Yeah.
Not to be confused with Mac and Goo.
No.
Dizzy Up the Girl.
Oh, I might have had that one too, actually.
Gutter Flower.
Yep, not that.
Let Love In.
Yeah.
Something for the Rest of Us.
Sure.
Magnetic, Boxes, Miracle Pill. I think we know what we're talking about there. And Chaos and Bloom. So that's the whole thing.
It was on Dizzy Up the Girl.
All right, yesterday was the Major League
Black
Baseball.
Black Balloon, I think.
Slide. Black Balloon Slide. Yep, nice.
Major League Baseball trade deadline was yesterday. 6 o'clock. Not the typical like 3 or 4 o'clock. It was 6 o'clock.
Mm.
Which was at the end of WEEI Afternoons.
Sure was.
So I was locked and loaded. By the way, I went to a movie screening yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have more on that. I can mention that in Grab Bag.
Oh, okay.
I saw the movie together.
With Greg. Yeah, nice.
And Ernie Bach.
Oh.
And so we were driving back, or I was driving back. I wasn't with them anymore. I was driving back in traffic listening to the trade deadline. I'm like, there's only a few more minutes left in this.
Ernie didn't give you one of the cars out of the solarium?
He probably took a helicopter out of there for all I know. Huh. So I was like, all right, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm listening to the WEEI Afternoons. I'm like, what is going to happen? First of all, I've been in a theater for 2 hours. So I'm like, did they even make any moves? So I'm listening to that. No, they didn't. They clearly did not. But I was listening. I'm like, all right, what is going on here as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline? And this is part of what I heard.
I think they would pause too. Do we have
hold on?
Do we have something I need to acknowledge here?
No.
Hit the sound!
Yep, yep.
Hit the sound! Hit the sound! Oh ye of little Fenway faith! According to @YahooSports, breaking: the Boston Red Sox have acquired All-Star starting pitcher Joe Ryan from the Minnesota Twins per @JohnMorosi.
John Morosi, the
Let's
Boston
go.
Red
Put
Sox.
Put the jersey back on.
City Connect jersey's warranted. I'll be putting on my City Connect sweatshirt.
Shame on you for not having any faith. You really had no faith, no faith, Stiz. You know, don't put your shirts on. You don't deserve to put your shirts on.
So here's what happened. So Fox Sports tweeted a graphic and then deleted that with that information. That's what I was going to break in and tell you, Andy, but you got to Nick first.
We didn't just get – what the hell is going on?
For
now
sure.
Yahoo has deleted it.
So Yahoo and Fox Sports have both deleted.
Wow.
Nicko!
Hey, that's not on us.
This is a bit of a poop
That's crazy.
All right. So that was quite a roller coaster. That was edited a little bit for time, but I was the highs and lows there in the car thinking they got Joe Ryan to know they did not
yeah,
get
so
Joe Ryan.
Yeah, so you heard this live.
I heard it live, and I was like, I was all excited.
I was riding
so
the roller
it was even
coaster.
Worse if they didn't get Joe Ryan.
I was riding the roller coaster in real time. And trust me, I was ready to take a big victory lap for my guy,
yeah,
Brad.
It didn't happen, though.
Well, I saw the same graphic, and it said John Morosi. I did this 2 seconds later when I saw the graphic. I go, well, let me go to Morosi's timeline. Nothing
didn't
there.
Have it.
And I said, well, that's odd.
I feel like maybe a little bit of a lesson learned where. Baseball trade deadline, Jeff Passan, his account, when he's not hacked by bots or whatever. Remember when he got hacked by
cryptocurrency or something like that?
Sure. So Passan, Rosenthal, maybe
Eric Shun.
Or Eric Shun.
Yeah, good one. That's
take a look
good
at those
insider,
guys.
Yep.
And if they have it, something as big as Joe Ryan, they might have it.
Yeah.
You can't trust the guys that are firing up the graphics.
Or.
Yeah.
Or. When it's attributed to someone.
Yeah, check out the person.
Maybe just go to their timeline
and
see what they
yeah.
say. Because the last tweet on Morosi's timeline was they were working on future
so that
tense.
Was
not that it was done past
that time. Was a tough go. So then I was already mad that they didn't get him at Breslow. Now I'm like even more mad because it was like it sounded like they got him. So now
It's a glass case of emotion.
The good news is it turns out their attempts were feeble and they weren't even close together.
They weren't close. They weren't close at all.
Reporting in retrospect. But no, if you're unaware of the story, Fox Sports and Yahoo did both jump the gun.
They posted something.
Yeah. Someone wagged the dog. I think it was Fox Sports put out the graphic. Yahoo aggregated that. Then there were multiple ones of those and all attributed to John Morosi, formerly John Paul Morosi.
All right,
they need to change his name back to go into hiding.
Yeah. Jack to John Paul.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our brags of the week. We have three nominees this week, including from the morning show. I think this was from Monday.
Well, I had a lunch meeting last week, and it was in the Seaport.
Sick brag, bro.
Ooh.
Yeah, not just the lunch meeting, but in the Seaport.
That's a mover and a shaker meeting. Yeah.
That's pretty good. So that's nominee number one. Nominee number two.
Rich and I are going to a movie premiere.
Sick brag, bro.
We did. We saw the Dave Franco, Alison Brie horror film.
Alison Brie.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. I'll more on that later. And your third nominee.
I'm a fan.
Sick brag, bro.
Wait, who was that?
That was Adam in Providence who called in last hour and said,
I'm a fan.
Sick brag, bro.
All right.
Did that just happen?
Yes. Lunch meeting in the Seaport. Going to a movie premiere with Rich Keefe.
Sure.
Or I'm a fan.
I think we got to go lunch meeting. No offense, Keefe.
Okay. No. But
I think we got to go lunch meeting.
I think so, too.
A lunch meeting last week, and it was in the Seaport.
The Seaport.
Oh,
still a brag.
Oh, damn.
Still a brag, but then you put the cherry on top.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's true. All right. Well, Chris Curtis,
what's
congrats.
What's the meeting about?
Congrats. You've won the brag of the week, the award, just like Jared Wilson's Hustle of the Week award. That's in the mail.
Congrats.
Yeah, congratulations. 617-779-7937. That is the week in review here on Jones and Keefe. Let's get back to the Devers trade. Are you feeling any differently about it now that the trade deadline has come and gone? We'll get to it next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.